a great understanding of the history of the United Methodist Church, and some not much at all, and some don't care, and some care very deeply. But if you're familiar with the United Methodist history, you may know that way, way, way back in our history, a lot of credit goes to two brothers, John and Charles Wesley. And they grew up in England, and John and Charles, well, people have even argued, do we give credit to them, or do we give credit to their mom, Susanna, who raised them so that if they were ever going to get together, they were going to pray. Because John and Charles, when they went to college, they wanted to be good students. So they got together to study together, and that was their first impulse. But you can't get together to study together or eat together or do anything together, if you're Susanna's boys, without praying and Bible study. And so they did. They studied their English, their math classes together, and they prayed, and they grabbed friends, and friends came and joined them. And they had so much studying and also devotion time that other students picked on them. They started calling them names. They called them Bible moths. And they called them the Holy Club. And John and Charles heard that name and said, all right, we'll go with that. And so they started calling themselves the Holy Club. And their goal to be together was to study, to be good students. But of course, they couldn't help but study the Bible also and to pray. Well, one of their friends in the group was a man named William Morgan. And he nudged them one time in their Bible studies, one time in their academic studies. He said, you know, we're working on our minds and we're working on our hearts, and that's great. But we need to go out and serve. William challenged his friends, nudged his friends a little bit, and said, you know, we need to practice our divinity. We need to go out and into the world, and he invited them actually to a specific prison to go visit. He invited them to shelters, and they went to hospitals. And from that day, that stirred, and well, what we call it in the United Methodist Church, we call it practicing divinity, or social holiness, or practical divinity. And we learn things in our hearts and our minds, but we go out and we do. So, because in the early church, there was this man named William who nudged his friends, because in this club, which became a movement, which became a church, they worked on going out because of an invitation. This has been a mark, an identification of the United Methodist Church, that we are people who believe, we are people who struggle with faith, but we also are people who reach out and bless. And so that means and that implies that the people around us in Bloomington and Eagan and Eden Prairie and in Minneapolis and St. Paul, we reach into towns in practical ways. So we have a friend here today. He doesn't attend this church, but he's with this group that's called Simpson Shelter. His name is John Vodica. And he is here like an early friend of the United Methodist Church to nudge, to invite us. There's actually an event here at the church about homelessness. Now, doesn't that fit as a topic within the United Methodist Church? To be talking about those without homes. Because Jesus said that the faithful will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you homeless? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me. And so we do have an invitation to a forum. I'll let... oh, no, I lost my mic. Do you have the microphone? Oh, there it is. John has been serving with Simpson Shelter, and he knows much more about Simpson Shelter than I can mention. But he has done work before Simpson Shelter in Georgia, in West Virginia, in Louisiana. He even went to college at Louisiana State and got his degree there. He met somebody special named Dee, and they have a family together, three boys and a daughter-in-law. He loves jazz music. And doesn't this fit, just like us? I'm not saying everyone here loves jazz music, but we all have our loves and our interests and our things, just like a man named John and a man named Charles did, and somebody named William came with his own interests. But he nudged and he said, I want to invite you to something more. And John Vodica has a specific invitation for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you all for inviting me to be a part of your worship service this morning. It's a pleasure to be with you and to be in this space, to be sitting next to Lauren Braswell, who has been an important person in my life over the last 5 or 6 years, and also in the life of Simpson Housing Services, particularly our shelter. I'm coming to you to invite you, as Pastor Rohde said, to the forum that you all are sponsoring along with the League of Women Voters this coming Thursday, the 8th of October. Registration starts at 6, and the program itself will start around 6:30 and go till between 8 and 8:30. A colleague of mine and myself, along with a representative from Oasis, for Youth, we'll be presenting a training of sorts around the issue of homelessness, but more importantly around the issue of affordable housing and the need for it, not only in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but out here, down here in Bloomington and in other surrounding metro suburbs. So I would invite you to attend that. It's free. I think you'll get something out of it, and we would love to have that conversation with as many of you as possible. I also want to invite you to a couple of other events, if I might. On November 5th, Normandale Highlands United Methodist Church is going to once again provide food and fun at Simpson Housing Services' Fall Family Program, or for Fall Family Party, that we hold annually for families, mostly moms and kids, but there'll be some dads in the mix as well, who come together annually, who used to be homeless, but now are in housing and in supportive housing that Simpson Housing Services either operates or supports. So that fall party is coming up on November 5th, and I know the folks that are organizing that can use your help and your smiles and your warmth during the time of that party. And then lastly, the other event that we hold annually at Simpson Housing Services is called the Memorial March for the Homeless. And that will be held on December 17th. It's a Thursday. And it's an event that we hold to lift up the homeless and formerly homeless who have passed away during this calendar year. We have a march from the Government Center in downtown Minneapolis that then proceeds to Simpson United Methodist Church along Nicollet Mall, Nicollet Avenue, where we have a service where we lift up those individuals who have died over the last year. And then everyone is invited to a community meal downstairs in the basement, which is where the Simpson shelter is located. So that's on December 17th. So there's more information on these events out on the table that Simpson has that we've set up and that I'll be at after the service. So you're welcome to stop by and find out more about that and what we do. Thank you.
Let's just hold that. What's interesting is, you know, in the life of the church, we would have announcements, and we do have announcements, and that would seem to fit in there, but doesn't that fit in with our whole faith? Is way back, could you go back one slide? In that holy club, John and Charles and William Morgan and others, they developed some questions for each other to push each other, nudge each other in the faith. They had 22 questions. just two of the questions. And can you imagine meeting with friends and having a friend ask you this? Do I give the Bible time to speak to me every day? If you were to meet weekly and be asked that, what would that do to your life? And then the next question, of course, did the Bible live in me today? Jesus, telling about what the kingdom of heaven is like in Go Ahead 2, said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it another 7 times or 70 times 7, is we know and we come together and we hold by our faith that Jesus, God's beloved child, God's beloved son, came into this earth, that the eternal word of God came and lived, was born on Christmas morning, and he died. We hold that, and we know that Jesus died, and we hold that he rose again and lives. And I mentioned before that this Jesus, this beloved son of God, said that the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the blessings of God are at hand. Yes, we hold this dream and hope that when we die, we go to heaven. And we even have wonderings of what heaven will look like, what heaven will be like when we get there. But Jesus, God's Son, said that the kingdom of God is at hand, right here. And there was a day when Jesus said, I have been so eager to share this meal with you. And this meal, we call it the Lord's Supper, we call it the Great Thanksgiving. This meal Jesus had with his disciples one night. And through the blessings of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has this meal with us, his disciples, now. God invites us to taste that very first meal that Jesus had with the disciples, and to taste this, which is just a taste of the love of God, which is just a taste of the victory meal when we're all in heaven together. Taste and see how good God is. Also, God invites us to dabble, to taste the kingdom of heaven, which is right here and right outside the window. We have a group in the church. We have many groups, but one is formally called Church and Society. Another good name for the group, if we ever wanted to change the name, could be called the Group of Social Holiness, or the Group of Practical Divinity. Or we can call it one of the old names and say it's the Group of Bible Moths or the Holy Club. But through this group, which we are a part of because it's part of the church, when you made your offering this morning, part of that, well, before we take the offering and we wrestle with utility bills and how many pencils to buy and, you know, the kind of things that everybody does at home, before we did any of that, we are taking 1/10 off, because we always have. This is not a brand new idea. We're taking a tithe off. And much of that tithe gets entrusted to Church and Society to go out to Simpson Shelter, to Cornerstone, to homeless shelters, to, oh, good grief, where do I stop? Bridging. See, I'm going to get peppered. Go ahead, pepper me. Tell me a few things. Veep. And Veep, that's not just one organization. That's a whole many things of food closet, cooking kitchen, teaching people nutrition. Somebody else said something else, including Veep. Cornerstone, transportation, bridging. And what else? Social services, Wesley, see? Meals on Wheels. Good grief, we could be here all day. Each one of these is the kingdom of God at hand. When did you see me hungry? When did we see you hungry, dear God, and feed you? When did we see you without a ride and take you where you need to be? When were you older and we took your hand? See, nobody yelled out a parent plan yet. Nobody yelled out 14 others. Because not only do we give these groups money, we don't just give them money and sit back, but today, church and society or the group of practical divinity is inviting you, is nudging you to dabble. Just try a little something. Don't commit your whole life to one thing unless you want to. But just try one. And out in the narthex are tables filled with the flavor of heaven. Just try a taste. Talk. Talk with one of the people of church and society. They'll be around the tables. Try one thing. Just taste how good the blessings of God can be. And I dare you not to want more. Go ahead and try it. As God invites us. And Jesus, God's Son, said, I have been so eager to share this meal with you. And we will. And I invite you to taste it. Just taste a little bit of the blessings to come. And then I invite you, through these organizations or through others, if you come from far away and you are going back to far away and you're saying, well, there's nothing for me back to do in Ohio. They don't have anything. We all know better. We know that in our living room, next door, in our schools, somewhere, there is a place for you to reach out and touch the blessings of God. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Amen. Now this meal, the Lord's Supper, we do recognize this table belongs to God. This is the Lord's table, and you're welcome to it. And just a little instruction. This morning, the servers will come out, and they'll kind of usher you along. You folks will come down and usher through. If you want to come to the railing, just give the secret wink to the servers, and just come on up to the railing. And then find your way back. If you want to be served right there, just come. And you, Rose, will come around. You folks back there, you'll go around too. Everybody here will kind of go in this motion and around or come to the rail or just be served there. And everybody here, you'll be making your way around here and go back and come and be seated. But I have one more thing I would like to share with you. A story which John can tell better than I, a story and a thank you. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I would be remiss without being here today and not offering a heartfelt thanks from all of us at Simpson Housing Services for the important and wonderful commitment you have made over the many years to the work that we attempt to do. I want to thank you for the thousands of hot, nutritious meals that you've served over the last decade and a half or longer to our homeless and formerly homeless friends who utilize our shelter services. I want to thank you for the connection you've forged with the Simpson Housing Services Family Housing Program, particularly the hospitality that you provided to folks at that fall party that we hold every year. And I want to thank you for the countless donations of diapers, toothpaste, socks, underclothing, blankets, shampoo, bath towels, and kitchen supplies. And then for voting once and then again and maybe even yet again in the IKEA makeover, kitchen makeover contest several years ago, which helped Simpson Housing Services forge ahead and really crush our nearest competitor to allow us to win and receive a long overdue kitchen shelter remodeling. For the amazing monetary gifts that you've made over the years, collectively and individually, that help keep us going. Just last week, a $2,000 check arrived from Normandale Highlands United Methodist Church, which adds to the more than $150,000 you've given to Simpson Housing Services in the last 15 years. That's $10,000 a year. It's amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for your prayers. And especially for your warm smiles and your friendly handshakes and fist bumps, your hugs, your laughter, and the conversation and hope you give to our homeless friends and formerly homeless friends when they see you and welcome you to our basement shelter at Simpson United Methodist Church. And you break bread with them once a month on average. It's just a wonderful, wonderful gift. I was at a forum earlier in the week at Augsburg College, hearing a speaker, a Catholic theologian of sorts, who kept reminding those of us who were listening to get to know the stranger next to you. Get to know the stranger next to you. And I think that's what we all have to do. I mean, we may be strangers among one another to some extent here. Get to know us. We need to get to know one and all. And you folks who come down to our shelter and have that connection, go to the family housing program, or just give food here at the church to bring to the shelter, give supplies and other things to bring to the shelter, you're getting to know, directly or indirectly, that stranger that is next to you. And I really appreciate that. And Pastor Rohde asked me to share one story. I could go on and on with stories this morning, but I want to share one that's been near and dear to my heart over the last several months. Two Octobers ago, we had a gentleman come to the shelter on a Monday night. His name is Dennis. He came to the shelter with a street outreach worker. Dennis had spent the last 15 years on the street refusing to go into shelter. He suffers from paranoia. He suffers from schizophrenia. And shelter was not what he felt safe or comfortable with. But Dennis was brought to Simpson. Dennis told the street outreach worker two Octobers ago, "You know, I don't know that I can do another winter outdoors." So the street outreach worker took that as maybe a possibility and brought him over to our shelter on Monday night, which is the night we hold a lottery to see who might be lucky enough to win a bed to sleep in our shelter. I happened to be working that night, so I had the privilege of meeting Dennis and showing him around the shelter before the lottery. At the end of our little mini tour, Dennis said, "You know, I think I'll give this a try." We huddled together, staff huddled together, and we said, "We are not going to make Dennis go through the lottery after spending 15 years on the streets. We are going to give him a bed tonight because he has decided this is where he wants to be, at least for a little while." So Dennis came into our shelter that October evening, and he spent the next 10 and a half months with us as we worked with Dennis and tried to help him get into some sort of supportive housing. He obviously couldn't live on his own. Finally, in August of that following year, so about a year ago, Dennis and we and others working with him found him a room in a supportive housing complex near where the new Viking Stadium is going up in downtown Minneapolis. Dennis moved into that room, that supportive housing complex, August a year ago. I lost touch with him for a while. And then about 6 months ago, I was down at House of Charity, which has a soup kitchen, a lunch meal for anyone off the street every weekday of the week. And I was down there volunteering for the lunch meal. And who would walk in to get some lunch but Dennis? And he walks toward me, and he has got this beautiful smile on his face. He is groomed like I had never experienced him at the shelter. He's obviously on medication. He's obviously making appointments. He's obviously eating fairly well. And he came up smiling to me, and when he got about 10 feet away from me, he reached into his pocket and he grabbed some keys, and he was doing this as he walked up to me, and he was saying, "John, John, I'm still in my place. I'm still in my place." And we hugged, and we talked about the fact that he was getting transportation to grocery stores. He was getting transportation to his medical and psychological appointments. He was on his medication. He was going to places like House of Charity to get some meals and to help with his budget. 15 years on the street, severe barriers to housing, but because there was a little bit of affordable housing in downtown Minneapolis, we were able to get Dennis there, and 2 years later, he is still there, and he will not spend this winter on the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul. So Dennis enjoyed your meals while he was at our shelter those 10 months. He enjoyed the safety that the shelter offers. He enjoyed even a mat on the floor where he could rest his head nightly. He enjoyed the fact that he had some space, he had some listening ears, and that he had, he was no longer a stranger to someone who was nearby. So thank you for being present to the folks at our shelter. Thank you for being present to so many in this community that I just heard about. And I look forward to seeing some of you on Thursday and throughout the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you.
When did we see you hungry and give you food? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? Taste and see the blessings of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body in Christ, body of Christ, in service to your beautiful world. Dear God, make us one. Make us one with you, one in Jesus, and one with each other. As we reach out and serve and bless, and as we reach to each other and take of this heavenly feast. Dear God, we thank you for this gift and we praise you as we pray together as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.